And we're live. Sneak attack. What's going on, Dr. Avi?
What's going on? I like it. I like how you just jump right in.
That's how we do things. It's fun. It's fun. How's everything going?
Good, man. How's it going for you?
Good. Good. Just, kind of a busy day. Yeah, pretty busy day, I would say. It's going to be a busy week. I presented this morning from 7 a.m., went through, one oral case was canceled, had two more, finished up clinic early, got home, but then I do like that. I try and do like a Q&A once a month on Insta. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then Pat the dentist wanted me to hop on a live after this at 9. That's why I wanted to bump up our chat here, because I want to get this. I don't know if I'm able to get it posted in time, but I wanted to get it in. We wanted to go over branding, marketing, and just chat about that for a week. But then another presentation at 7 tomorrow. You know how it goes. It's a busy life.
Yeah, man. When you're almost done, right? When you graduate again? Or when you out?
Yeah. Mid-June.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're moving forward. How was your day? How's everything going?
Good. Today, let's see. Dude, I got these cards to help with, like, to-dos and tasks. I don't even know if it... There you go. Hmm. I use Notion. And then, like, have you heard of the second brain? Tiago Forte, like, building a second brain? It's like a productivity system. It's just like a way basically to organize like the information that you have. So like, you know, like if you listen to a good podcast or you see like a good article or anything like that, like some people just kind of throw it in their notes app. And then it's like to be able to like recall that, it's a hit or miss. This guy, Tiago Forte, he came up with this system where you basically take anything, any information that you're consuming that you want to kind of like reference. You dump it into like an inbox, and then in that inbox, like once a week, you go through it and then you kind of like process it. He's got a whole thing on it. I'm not going to dive into it, but basically, I started using that a couple of years ago, and it's been pretty cool. Like Notion is just the app. It's right. It's just like a note taking app. Obviously it can get super complex, but the actual productivity, like information organization system is this concept called a second brain. So it's cool. Like whenever I have an idea or like a to-do thing, like a to-do item, I'll just drop it in the inbox and then I'll just get back to living whatever's going on and being present and then knowing that I can like process that at a later time.
Oh, I see. I see exactly what you mean. So you kind of add it to this little pending.
But yeah, like a parking lot.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. When you just started this recently?
No, so I've been doing that for probably 2 years now. I just started this like basically this is just like, I mean, it's essentially a note card, and then I just write down like the things that I want to do for the day. It only has 10 lines, so it like forces me to kind of like shrink it just to 10 things, but It was good. Today I basically made a mini pitch deck. I'm talking to a DSO tomorrow. I'm having like a second call with them to get them to potentially adopt our aligner training program for their associates. So I put together a couple slides for that. I'm getting t-shirts made for our in-person course. So I went to a local guy to get like the logo branded on some shirts. I was, what else did I do? We're moving next month. So I'm like,
it's coming up.
Yeah, I got like movers quotes. Dude, this is great. I literally, if you would have asked me point blank, what did I do today? I would have had no idea what I did. But I'm just going through this. I'm like, oh yeah, I actually did a lot of stuff. My malpractice insurance. They like had somebody else on my thing. So I had to like call them. Yeah, it's like time for me to renew it. And some other LLC was on there. And I was like, I don't know who this person is, but I need you to get them off.
No.
Yeah. Like, I don't need anyone mooching off of me. And then I had a coaching call with a doctor that just got into the group, into the course.
There you go. How long are your coaching calls? That's a good day.
Yeah. This one was 45 minutes. Yeah. Cause whenever a doctor gets in the course, I personally onboard them. So we already had that call last week, but then she had like a case she wanted to go through. So I went over that with her today on the call, which is pretty crazy. She's been doing aligners for 5 years and she didn't know that you had to modify the case and make changes to it.
From just the basic clear aligners, modifying it from...
Yeah. So like when you submit like a case, right? You submit a scan and photos, like for example, Invisalign will kick you back a ClinCheck.
Yeah.
You have to make changes to that. You cannot just accept the first one. So she's been practicing for like over 20 years. And she's done the liners for the last five. And she like, we went through the case and she's like, oh, I have this posterior open bite. And so I'm like, all right, well, like, let's look at it. And then I just asked a couple questions and it was like very clear that she hadn't made any modifications. And that's where I was like, okay, you need to go through the program and these are things that you need to do. And she's just like, oh, like, she's like, no one ever taught me this. I didn't know that you had to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's just like, because I've done cases before, and she's like, I've gotten good results. But that's what's wild is like some people just like you can like get lucky, but that's not obviously. She felt really bad. I felt bad for her, but we're gonna help her through it. Yeah, pretty nuts.
Yeah, it starts with that, right? It starts with a call.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, dude, let's dive into some of this marketing and branding talk.
Yeah. So, well, you had a pretty busy day. Was anything that you did today along the lines of marketing or branding? Did you put up any posts today? What's your favorite part? Like, how do you meet? Maybe this word of mouth. Maybe this, someone saw a video. What's your favorite thing? What's your number one winner as far as finding new clientele?
Yeah, no, that's actually funny. So the one thing I didn't even say is I literally started my morning. I had a meeting at like 6 a.m. With the editor that I work with. He's based in India. And we actually had like a full blown, like hour long strategy call about what the plan is for content. Cause I had kind of like taken a pause from making videos because I wanted, or making videos with him because we had like a whole content machine. So what I used to do is I used to sit down once a month and I would script and I would record 4 YouTube videos. And then him and the team would basically take that YouTube video, edit it, and then they would cut and pull clips for reels, right? For short form. So one, and I did that just because I like to look for areas where I can kind of just get the most leverage out of what I'm doing. So I started like ninja scripting these things, dude. Like I would script it to perform well on YouTube. And then I would have like sub hooks in the videos. So that way, whenever they cut the clip, they would put that on Instagram. Because on Instagram, if you don't have a good hook, it's not going to perform well. So I was doing that. And then basically a couple of months ago, I decided to just put that on pause because I wanted to like, I don't know, I wanted to find a way to basically make content for the dentist that is very close to wanting to start aligners. And so I had a theory. I was like, cool, if somebody is, and this is clearly one of my favorite parts, I guess, is indirectly answering your question, is like the strategy behind like all of this.
Yeah.
My thought process is like, okay, how do I make content that is going to resonate with them, that gives them value, and then encourages them where if they want to go deeper, then they're incentivized to either enroll for one of the free trainings that I have on my website, or to just buy the course outright. And so that's what I was doing for a couple months. So I was doing like case breakdowns, and I thought, oh, if I just get super technical with this and kind of bring it back to the beginner, like that would work. We didn't see any like any marginal increases in like opt-ins or enrollments or anything like that. So now I'm kind of in a place where I think what I realized, I was like, if a dentist hasn't started doing aligners yet, they're probably not looking for the technical stuff. They're probably looking for the stuff that's like speaking to like where they're at. So like a lot of dentists are burnt out. A lot of dentists are like, some of them feel like expectation doesn't meet reality.
A lot
of them want to do, they want to elevate, they want to become a better clinician, but maybe they don't know how. And so kind of where I'm like brainstorming literally right now is like, maybe like, is it worth kind of going back to that stuff where it's like more relatable content, sharing more about like my story, some advice, but also more so like, you know, things that I wish that, you know, I could hear when I was maybe a younger dentist or even just earlier on this like aligner journey, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think to answer your question, the fun part is like, it's fun, but it's also tough, is making content that is authentic and genuine. But kind of where I'm at now, since I've been doing it for a bit, is just being intentional about it providing value. And I guess being relatable, like those are the two kind of things I'm trying to focus on.
Yeah. And I see what you mean about the strategy behind it, while keeping it genuine, keeping it organic, but also leading it to potentially a new client, someone to explore the work. And I did watch a couple of those last videos you were mentioning. That is exactly like, I started dentistry and, you know, I wasn't happy. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't know where to go with it. And I think that that's such a great line. So many dentists feel that way. I kind of look at it from another angle where it's like, how did dentistry get to this point when so many dentists are pissed off and like, this is so anticlimactic, and it's, but that's for another time.
Yeah.
right? Because, and then what direction are we going? Is like, okay, we're in the, you know, the growing pains right now, and then eventually gets better. And it's like, dentistry as a whole, where is it getting better at all for anyone? I don't, but yeah, so a topic for another time. But which I actually know the video editor that you were working with. I actually had a quick topic call. Dude, he's so expensive. I don't know, you got in with him early, but he is like, he does good work. Don't get me wrong. He knows it. He's overconfident. He's way overconfident. He was very confident in his work. I'm like, yeah, you do good stuff. What kind of fees you're doing? This is like a year and a year and maybe 2-3 months ago. Maybe a year and a half ago. It was like January of last year. And he was, God, he quoted me at like $2,500, $3,500 for like 10 videos. I'm like, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I did. I got in with him literally. I think I was like his first dental client. If I show some, we laugh about it. I mean, if I show some of the videos from back then, it's like, they are garbage. Like anybody off the street probably could do a better job than what those used to be, but no, it's crazy. Yeah. He, back then, he didn't really know what he was doing. I didn't really know what I was doing, but we kind of like figured it out. Yeah. He's a hustler for sure. And
I feel like you trained him in a big way.
Yeah. I think it was, I think, cause it was like, I had somebody that were, as I was actively learning, I was sharing with him, but then it was cool. Cause like, he was hungry. Like, I didn't expect him to level up at all. Like, I just was more like, I'm consuming this information. I will deploy it, like do it. And then there was a day where he started telling me stuff. Like, he literally is the one that told me to buy a camera. He's like, dude, you need to level up. He's like, I'm like, what? He's like, you need to buy a camera. And I'm like, no, like, it's fine. Like, I'm good with the iPhone. Don't worry about it. He's like, no, I'm telling you, just like invest in the camera. He's like, the quality will go up. And he's like, it will match kind of like what you are putting out there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, I don't know. Like, that's like a big investment. But I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, let's go for it. And then I did it. And yeah, like the first batch that came back after that, it's like, I was like, whoa, okay, this is different. So
what camera did you go with?
The Sony ZV-10, I think is what it is. So I guess it's like traditionally like a vlogging camera, but I just have it mounted on the desk. And then I run an HDMI cable into the MacBook, so it pulls like this 4K quality.
Are you using that right now?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah,
I did notice you had great quality in the last video. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, double, and now it doubles as a webcam. So
that's pretty fire, huh? And then to get those qualities, to write those scripts, where were you kind of going? Was it like ChatGPT? Were you talking with certain people? Were you brainstorming sessions with people?
Yeah. So when I first started making videos, ChatGPT didn't exist.
Oh, that is true. That's a good point. Yeah,
it didn't exist. So my first videos honestly were associate driven. So it was basically like a recollection of my associateships, tips that I wish I had. So like how to find a job, like how much do associates get paid, like how to interview, all that kind of stuff. I was just literally pulling up like slide, like I was just making like PowerPoints, and then I was just like reading off of those. So I would like have the camera on, I'd look at the bullet points, and then I would like try to, you know, riff. Yeah. And then go. So I kind of scripted that way initially. And then over time the scripting, as I started to kind of focus in more on YouTube and stuff, I started to take a lot more seriously. So yeah, ChatGPT came out. I kind of tested it, but when it first came out, it was like, it wasn't that good. But I think I kind of, because I was so close to having gone through the struggles with aligners and knowing what the common challenges, questions, mistakes were, like, I would literally, so this is when I also had that second brain thing. Like if I had an idea when I was walking, I would just write it down. Like, oh, this would be a good video. Like how to do, you know, how to place attachments, or like, you know, how to talk to patients about treatment, like stuff like that. And then I would just go for it. But it's crazy, man. You can learn a lot on YouTube. So that's where I learned everything. That's where I learned how to like set up my channel. That's how I learned to get like a basic setup.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's like, it's just one camera, a microphone, and then like a light. Like that's pretty much, that's all I have.
Same. Yeah. Basic setup, right? That's maybe one of those strips where it's like you could plug in two, three, four USBs.
Oh yeah.
Camera. Yeah. You know, like just, yeah, basic stuff. Yeah. But important, right?
No, for sure. So. And then when I first started, like I said, like I was just using my iPhone. Like I wasn't even doing anything crazy. It was like a $20 ring light and an iPhone, and just get to it. But yeah, scripting, that's what I kind of used. I haven't like sat down and made a full blown traditional YouTube video in a bit, because I've been doing more like case breakdowns. So like I'll just pull up a case, record my screen, and I'll walk through it. But I have like a structure. I have a structure that I follow where, you know, first 30 seconds, you try to do like a, some type of hook, you know, provide value, position yourself as like an authority without making like a monologue, and then just like get into the video.
I think you're great with storytelling too. I think you have a really good knack there.
Thank you. Yeah. That's something that I definitely have learned that intentionally. I've always been able to talk, but like that would just lead to usually rambling. And so now it's more when I'm making videos. That's how it was in the beginning. I would just ramble. And now I try to tighten it up a little bit.
Sure.
I think Instagram, I use it. I'm on Instagram probably way too much, just as much as the next person.
You have to be now.
Yeah, it's crazy. The addiction is real. But no, Instagram is my favorite to consume content on. And then also that's where usually we get, most doctors in. I just think it's this generation of dentists. Like that's where we all are. I don't really like Facebook that much. Like, so I'm not really on there. YouTube, I go on. YouTube is probably number two.
Long form or short form?
Long form. I don't think I ever watch shorts on YouTube.
No short? Oh.
Yeah.
It's like snippets, you know, little snippets that I feel like, well, I mean, you do get that on TikTok too. The TikTok algorithm that's a very unique one, you know?
Yeah, I've actually stayed, I was on it. I never actually like fully got immersed into TikTok.
Wow.
I don't know. I think when it first came out, I was in that bucket of like, oh, what is this like dancing video app? Like way back then. During the pandemic, I was on it. And it was like, I mean, it was comedy. It was like videos of like cute puppies doing stuff. And then just some other like comedy, like it and then a bunch of like newlywed content, because that's when my wife and I, we got married right before the pandemic. So we were in lockdown literally 3 months into our marriage. And so it's like, it was just great. Like, I was like, this is the funny, like I'm watching the funniest videos ever. Didn't even comprehend that an algorithm was targeting me and just feeding me up all the stuff. And then, I think I just ended up spending more time on Instagram. Something about TikTok where I feel like because it knows me so, once I started to learn about algorithms and like how content, all that works, I think it started to weird me out how targeted it can get. And I mean, they're all the platforms pretty much are doing it now, but I think because TikTok was so, I don't know, aggressive with it, I feel like just, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to like show that much, but it's not like I'm afraid of giving up privacy in that regard. I think it was more, I don't know why, but I never like,
it's like
never
like got your mind, you know, it's like annoying. They're kind of scary. It's like, yeah, I didn't like that either. That's why I don't scroll through TikTok. I solely post content there. I love using TikTok lives, but yeah, I can't, I was never able to scroll through TikTok. I think it's exactly what you said. It's like kind of frightening, you know? You need to have some level of defense over your own mental capabilities and capacity, because it'll just draw you in and, what do they call it? Like brain rot, where you're just like, you know, scrolling and yeah, you'll get locked into TikTok and go for hours. It's scary.
Yeah. And I think before algorithms started becoming like known, I think I used to always be hyper attentive to like not engaging with posts, not like hanging on to content. Like if I see ads, dude, I just like, I'll just swipe because
immediately, yeah.
I know if I hang out on an ad, I'm just going to get ripped by all that stuff. And then like every once in a while, I'll slip up and it'll get me and I'll click and I'm on the site. And then next thing you know, it's just like, they back up the freaking bricks.
The floodgates.
Yeah. It's just like, oh my gosh.
The floodgates are open. I got a buddy who but it's like, it's just all tits on his like Instagram feed. And I'm like, dude, like, don't you like get, is this all you look at? Like every single one. And I'm like, God, doesn't your wife get mad at this? And he's like, look, I show her, I exit these out and they just keep coming back. I'm like, he's off the deep end. And now he showed me and it just keeps coming back every time it refreshes. I'm like, maybe they're targeting you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mix, dude. So I used to like, before I did any of this stuff, I used to just be heavy into sports.
What sport? What did you play?
NFL, NBA, like big time. Yeah. And so I would just go on like, you know, X Twitter Instagram, and it's just, I always wanted to know, like, what's the latest update? What's Rapoport and Schefter? What are they tweeting? Like, what's going on? And it's crazy because I think the algorithm like knows like that. It's almost like it knows it's in my deep, like my core, my being. When I went on like my whole like mental health journey and like just self-improvement and stuff like that, like I unfollowed every sports account, like all of them.
Really?
All sports accounts, all sports news. Yeah, I didn't want it in my feed because I'd go down rabbit holes.
Mm.
Dude, it probably, and then I barely used the explore page, and it was so weird because I wasn't following any accounts. To this day, like 2.5-3 years later, there is still, it wasn't until maybe like 6 months ago. Up until 6 months ago, my entire explore page was like all sports stuff.
Still sports. Wow.
Great. Like,
specifically not clicking into them too? You weren't double clicking?
Wow. And it's just like the algorithm was like, I know this is what you want. I know this is what you want. And it's like literally tempting. Only 6 months ago, I noticed like now it's like other stuff that I'm watching, like, you know, business, motivation, there's dental stuff in there. Like it's finally like cleaned up. But yeah, dude, I was like, I think this is broken. I was like, I think this app is broken. But now that we're talking about it, I'm like, I think this app just knew me deep down. So I think it knows your boy. I think it knows your boy deep down.
I think it knows him. I think it knows him. Yeah, I stay away from all that stuff on. Because yeah, once you look at one or two. So my girlfriend started, do you watch any anime?
I don't.
No. Okay. Well, if you like sports, don't go into anime. You'll be lost. You'll be gone. But she got me into anime. That was pretty cool. And the best one by far and away is Attack on Titans. And literally within, I saw one video come up. It like listens to your conversation. So it was like Attack on Titan. And all of a sudden my explore page, oh, there's a video. And now I watch one. And then you leave or whatever. And now there's five on the explore page. And it's crazy how fast it updates. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't figured out like how it like trails off though, you know?
I don't know. I think you have to like abstain from it. And then you have to give your time to like something else. I think that's how it's going to pick up.
Replace it with something else. Yeah.
I noticed that. I was, when I was walking my dog, I was scrolling. Wish I wasn't, but I was, because I try to not do that kind of stuff when I'm outside, but I was, and I saw a video by Dan Martell, and he was just talking about like AI agents. And he's just like, you know, right now there's generative AI. And then, you know, very soon there are going to be like AI agents, agentic AI, I guess what it's called. And I'm like, okay, that was interesting. The next scroll, because I watched like, right, 15 to 20 seconds of it. The next scroll was like, you know, suggested. And it was about this dude talking about agentic AI and how his whole setup is in his like online business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is nuts.
Stuff is nuts, man. Yeah, the AI bots, I mean, the robots that Tesla's going to be putting out in a year or whatever it is. This stuff's crazy that's coming. What was the next thing I wanted? What's like your content flow? So that's it? Like you're on Instagram most of the time, but you're a content creator too.
Yeah.
I would say more than probably a consumer, right? Did you post today?
So all my posts are scheduled.
Okay, so you put it in ahead of time, then you schedule them out.
Yep.
Can I know about this a little bit? And then I could go through all my stuff too. I'm curious. I just want to go over like strategy.
So the way I'll do it is right now we have it set up to where I will what's up?
And who's we too?
I have a team member. Her name is Jean. She's a VA. She's from the Philippines.
Gotcha. She's a VA, virtual assistant. Gotcha.
So she helps me out. And so basically right now what I'll do is I've got content that's already been made and then she schedules it for me once a month. And so, yeah, right now it's kind of nuts. So I've got content from the most recent boot camp that we did, right? Mm. Back in February. So there's video content from that. And then they gave us some clips. That was part of the agreement. And so she's got those, and then she puts them up in this app called Loomly. That's a website. And so on Loomly, you can basically put one piece of content, and then you can just select which like platforms you want it to go on. So she'll put them on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, and they'll go. And you can schedule it out and all that. So she does that. And right now we have it, to where it's one post a day. Another piece of what she'll do is she'll take some of my content and then basically like take the transcription of it. And then she'll make that into like a carousel or like a kind of like still image thing. So that way it has like a, it's not all just video. That's still like a work in progress. But yeah, that's kind of what we do now. The only thing that I will organically post myself is stories. So all stories are me. And I just do that in real time because I like posting on stories. I feel like it's cool. I think if I have something on my mind, I can just post it and you know, it's there. Because I still like that connection with people, but from like the actual reels and all that, those are usually scheduled. Sometimes like if I'm doing like a walk and talk and I just want to get it out there, like I'll just record it and then post it myself. But we're at a point now where I've tried to kind of like systematize the content piece just because there's so many other things that I have to focus on. But posting on stories is like my jam.
What about any other? So it's just clips. You're just doing clips where she kind of sends them out on a scheduled basis, and one per day, never two, never. But it's, you mentioned TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts. No, what about long form too, or Facebook like Reels?
Oh yeah, so it will go on Facebook Reels, Instagram, TikTok. That's where all the video will go,
and probably Shorts too. Shorts, and then
and then long form is every other week. We used to do videos once a week, but ever since I took a break from it back in October, we stretched it out to where it's once every other week. And I have posted like twice a day or even three times a day on one platform. Like I tried that just from like a volume perspective, didn't really see a difference. So now we've just gotten back down to like once a day. And then on LinkedIn is where I've been for the last couple of months, been actively focusing on like organically creating the content just because that's where I'm establishing myself, especially in like the DSO space. So that's been fun, honestly, because I've been able to make more entrepreneurial content and kind of like calling out the DSOs, because like I've gone to these DSO conferences. So I'm learning a lot about how these organizations are structured and like, honestly, how like with when private equity is involved and like, for example, like a DSO will have like a chief dental officer. Right. And like you would think that that person has like a lot of say and power, but they don't. Most of them, it's like they just kind of have the title. And like, even though in my opinion, they are probably the most important people, second to the actual dentists on the front lines.
Yeah.
I think they're like probably one of the most important persons because like they have to basically be the person who's, because all the business guys, like the business development guys and DSOs, like they don't actually know what's going on and what drives like revenue in the business, right? Mm. Because those are all like clinical procedures. Those are clinical dynamics. So somebody has to have experience from the clinical side to be able to then relay and translate that to the business side. And so like, that's a very important person because that is the person who's usually trying to connect with, right? And hear out the doctor's concerns. But it's crazy, man. Every DSO is different. And so, I've just learned a lot just by meeting them. And I'm seeing a lot of these patterns. So on LinkedIn, like I'll make content about that stuff. Just my like observations, things that I'm hearing, learning. So it's fun. And then I've also got vault. Go ahead. I think so. I see your stuff. I know your stuff is, you definitely hit him with the medical side, but it's good. I think it's like,
No, I don't have you. There we go. Okay. Now we're connected. Yeah. I'm curious what content you're posting.
Oh yeah. Oh, dude.
Cool. Yeah. I was going to say, I think we talked about that a little bit on the last podcast, how I think LinkedIn is probably, so you said Instagram's your number one. But yeah, I think LinkedIn, because LinkedIn's B2B. It's business to business. It's basically essentially dentist to dentist or hygienist to dentist and so on. I think that's probably can be your biggest platform. Now, I don't know how those connections work out to gain clientele, but have you tried?
They've been working on the DSO side. Like I've been posting content on there, and then DSOs, whether they're like a chief dental officer or a CEO, like someone who's interested in, you know, having an aligner training and support for their group, they've like reached out. Some of the Align reps, they follow me. And so they'll just see how I'm like talking about aligners and, you know, the clinical side and the business side. And I've had them reach out. So yeah, it's been good. I haven't had much like GPs on LinkedIn, like going into like my course or anything. I feel like that's all from Instagram, but I mean, I just started with it, so I'm not sure. I feel like most dentists aren't really on LinkedIn.
Really? There are a lot in other countries, that's for sure. Yeah. It's hit or miss. It's definitely hit or miss. Obviously more so on Instagram. I would agree with that. 100% would agree with that. Yeah, they are more on Instagram. I guess it's because, because it's a different mindset. You know, on Instagram, you're kind of looking for leisure, but in a professional way. And then LinkedIn is just professional on top of professional and learning and networking professionally. I love LinkedIn. I try and post like little things, like I get a little review thing in, plug it into ChatGPT, make sure that the references are all correct and the information I can verify, and then post it. It's like a little quick review. I like it for that. But you know, the one thing I think Instagram's my most powerful platform, but I think the content creation and production really comes from the TikTok end. Because in TikToks, what I'll do is I'll do the live. So you're saying you're doing long form every two. What is your long form like? What kind of format? What kind of format is your long form in, by the way?
Yeah. So on YouTube, it'll be like talking head, primarily talking head. So like I'll kind of be here like this. I'll talk about a topic, and then that's primarily what it is. Recently, the long form has switched up, and it's like I'll pull up a case, and then I'll kind of like do like a picture in picture where like my face is like on the screen, and I'm like going through a clean check, kind of showing what modifications I'd make and stuff like that. Those are the two types of long forms that I make.
Which one do you like more?
The talking head ones. the case breakdown stuff, like I know, like I've gotten positive feedback from both. I think for me, if I just from a volume perspective, like where my passions are at, it's more on that side, because it's like, yes, there are frameworks and like, you know, guardrails to follow when you're doing the liner cases, but then there's also nuance. Like you need, if you have a case, like, sure, I can kind of walk you through how I would do this case, but like if it's for your specific case, it's just totally different. And so we have support like that built into the program with orthodontists and GPs. And yeah, I think right now just where my personal growth has been learning about, you know, marketing, sales, leadership, like all that kind of stuff, and like building a business. And so I enjoy the talking head stuff because I'll take strategies that I'm learning and apply it to dental. Right. So it's like getting case acceptance. Like, what does that look like? How can you, you know, present a case to a patient and do it without coming across salesy? And so kind of helping dentists in that way, and just keeping it very, you know, relatable and casual like this. So that's what I enjoy making. But again, that's why I'm kind of also going through this process now. Like, right, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, like there's two schools of thoughts. Like people will be like, oh, create the content that like you would want and that you enjoy making. But I think now, since like content is active, I mean, it's part of this business, I think I have to, I mean, not even have to, I want to make it for the viewer and for the potential, you know, doctor that either going to get in the program or just make it valuable enough so that way they can watch something for free and learn something. Like that's kind of the frame that I'm operating from. Like it should be so good that even though it's free, someone can walk away learning something. So
learning something, right? And getting started on that path in the direction that they're going. I could tell. And I think that's really where you spark that fire in other people. I've watched some of your videos where I could definitely feel that coming out from the video. I try and aim for that too. It's not about the value that we're going to extract from. It's about the value that the viewer, how do they engage with it? How does it draw their attention? Is it in a positive light? Is your tone a little too New Yorker and they're going to take it the wrong way? I've gotten that, you know, it's like, I'm talking generally about a topic. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah. It's a whole science. Social media is a whole science. And I know you're on it. You've been on a great journey for some time. And gosh, imagine that dentist that's just out there and hasn't thought about how to connect with the viewer that can become a client one day, a patient one day, you know? Well, I really think that social media is the preliminary consultation. Consultation, when you get the patient in the office, you examine them, maybe take a look at their x-rays, you know, but this social media allows them to meet you before they even come in the office. And they're going to know if they're going to vibe with you or not, you know? I think it's so important.
It is the biggest gold mine in dentistry. It is social media, because it's not even a question anymore of does it work or will it work. It's been here and it's not going anywhere. And to your point, I think we touched on this last time, but I think what it is it comes back to, because to post on social media, you have to be comfortable in your skin. And a lot of people are not comfortable in their skin. And a lot of dentists are not comfortable in their skin as a dentist. Like there are a lot of dentists who are good dentists, but they don't believe in themselves enough. Because I used to be that way. I did not post when I was, you know, just doing bread and butter, even though I was like a good general dentist. I was a good bread and butter dentist. I would not, because I just wasn't comfortable in my own skin. Right. And so I think it's a huge opportunity where if people can commit to doing stuff, some of that self-work, like social media becomes a blue ocean, because all you have to do, I mean, there's dentists that are posting on social media that are getting patients from there consistently, and the content is not even that good. Like, it's just, they're literally just recording what's going on. But that's the beauty, is it's the bar is that low. And all people want to see, like, all people want to see is like, what is it like? What's it going to be like? What's the, you know, what are some of the things that are, that go on? What can I expect? And it's so powerful, because I think a lot of dentists, you know, people, like, everyone will say there's not enough time in the day and all that, but it's like, I look at it so cool. Like, if you're a dentist and you have a practice and you have to, right, it's like you're saying, and you do this too, like when you see patients, like you're saying relatively the same thing about procedures and like pre-op, post-op, all
over
that kind
and
of
over
stuff.
Over and over, yeah.
Dude, sit down, record a video. And then afterwards, when the patient leaves, let's say it's about a crown, right? The process of a crown. Let's say that you diagnose a crown on a patient, and then they leave that day and they're like thinking about it, or maybe they're doing it, maybe they're not. Whether or not they commit, you can send them a video in an email that's, you made one video about the crown process. And it's just like, hey, right? Your front desk sends it. And it's basically just like, hey, you know, you got diagnosed to have a crown. You may have some questions about it. Maybe, you know, just in case you forgot what doc was talking about in the clinic, here's a video to just watch, so that way you can, you know, understand what's going on. Dude. Yeah. And then if you just have a video in like a YouTube playlist of like crown, filling, SRP, extraction, right? Like all that stuff. Dude, you literally don't have to, like, now the patient comes in and they're ready to go because they already know everything.
That's such a good point too. Yeah. They're going to get an implant. You send them a little review on what an implant is and how it's not the tooth. It's the root of the tooth, replacing that. And that's a really good idea. And then they leave unsure. Like, I, you know, he was saying it and it wasn't clicking. And then they could watch that video over three times. And it's like, so that's what they were saying. Yeah. That's a really good.
And the best part is that lives on your YouTube channel, and then YouTube will feed that out to other people. And now all of a sudden you're spreading positive education. Like, everyone's so upset. All dentists are upset about all this other information about dentistry and dental health.
And they're not doing anything themselves.
Make the freaking content, dude. Make the content. Yeah. Like, if you're talking about other people spewing it, get on a mic and open the camera and make the content. Like, that's all they're doing.
And they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. We're really getting into the meat and potatoes of this episode. I got to ask you, what's one of the worst, not to point fingers or to call anyone out, what's been a video or type of content that you've seen is just, you know, that is really ineffective, and this is just a complete garbage. You know what I mean? And I got one, not like complete garbage, but I think what you're posting it for is, it's doing the complete opposite. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I have to think, but I think gut reaction on that, to what used to bother me, is when people would just copy the next dentist. I think that used to bother me a lot, where it's
everyone's
like
doing it. Yep. The trends now.
Yeah. The trends, but it's even like I think it's the reaction videos of, like, you know, it's there, like there's something going on, and then they'll pop on and they'll have their face and they'll just like do like the quick breakdown. But they're not saying anything that is like differentiating. They're just kind of like regurgitating what like somebody else has already said. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Maybe after you share yours, it might spark some juices on my end. But like, that's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking?
One thing I think of, and I've heard some people talk about posting your cases on Instagram. And that's this is your teeth before and this is your teeth after. And now I think it's so great, but it's always that close up where it's just like your teeth. And that's really, you're showing that to other dentists. But I think Instagram is more of the, right? All cases, I mean, just my personal opinion, I think all cases should be posted on LinkedIn, because that's where you're going to get the real engagement of like that. And I see it all the time. People post their x-ray of this. People post their, you know, the VSP, like the virtual surgical planning of an implant case, or the 3D reconstruction of like the jaw or the crown or the tooth or the root canals. You see x-rays of someone's root canal after the fact on LinkedIn all the time. But I think on Instagram, and it was interesting, because I was talking to an orthodontist a couple of weeks ago who's like, people want to see your cases. And I'm like, I think other dentists want to see your cases and kind of learn, how did you get that tooth to turn this way there? Or how did you prevent it from fenestrating, you know, whatever it may be. I don't know. Do you think so too, or is that completely
off? I'm with you. I totally missed that because I think I don't follow dentists, or I try to limit the number of dentists that I follow that just post cases all the time on Instagram. I hate that content because it's like, yeah, you were. I think it is, hate is a strong word. Sorry. I think it bothers me because, to your point, if the point of it, it depends on what the point is. The point to attract new patients, or is the point to make yourself feel good about your case and boost you?
Right.
I do like how you provided that solution of just posting it on LinkedIn because, yeah, you can have more intellectual conversations, but I don't know if those people are looking for that. I think they're posting it more as a brag book, right? Because they want their highlight,
right?
Yeah, on Instagram. But patients, that's the thing. It's also like the context. Like, dude, a patient needs to see lips. They need to see a nose, a face. They don't give a damn about the line angle on the veneer.
Right. Like, right.
They don't care. They really don't care. If anything, it freaks them out. I think it's like way too close. Like,
right.
Way too close for the non-dentist.
Yeah. I think it's not patient specific, but yeah, I mean, I guess you could put it as like an online portfolio. I'm curious to see how many likes those posts actually get on the back end, you know?
Dude, so one thing that I've heard is a lot of dentists, and I didn't really pay attention to it, but a couple of people sent me some stuff, is like, there's a lot of dentists out there that pay for likes and follows and engagement. Like,
oh yeah, big names too. You'd be surprised. Some big names out there are paying for stuff. I agree. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't. No, somebody sent me one of the bigger names in dentistry that I had no idea they were even doing it. And I saw it and I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. The guy, what is it? Bill Dorfman in California? Is he? I can't figure him out.
I haven't seen. That wasn't the page that somebody sent me. But yeah, I can take a look. It's pretty easy to tell, I feel like, in terms of engagement. Because here's the thing. I'm not even biased. I think I am a creator, so I can say this. If you are not active on the platform in a genuine way, like, yes, I have outsourced, like I have, you know, I have an automated posting situation going on. So yeah, I'm not posting every single thing, but I do know other people in other industries who have big followings, and it's the story, dude. The story is the way to connect to somebody, in my opinion, on the one-on-one level. So like any creator, in my opinion, that is like the sacred place, is the story. The feed, from a leverage and just output standpoint, it is going to be rare once you hit a certain volume number that the person is organically doing it themselves. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but like, for example, right? Like if content becomes a part of the business, like even for a dental practice, like I don't think a dentist needs to be posting on their feed. I think that's not a good use of their time. I think the dentist should be like creating the actual content, and right. And then if they're posting on the story like that, that'd be cool. Like, think about it. It's like, if you're like, you know, if you're, I'm trying to think of somebody that you would see, right? Barber, for example, right? Like your barber, let's say they've got, you know, someone posting on their feed, but then on their story, I don't know, like I'll watch some barber content sometimes, just some like, you know, cool fades and stuff. But like, that's where you get that behind the scenes look. And I think that's organic. So going back to what you're saying, these bigger names.
Really quickly, just touching on that really quickly. I think you get the personality of someone on the story, because they're not so worried about it being as permanent. So they're more loose with throwing it up. Oh, it's only going to be on there 24 hours, but then you get to learn about it because it's like a song they listened to this morning. It's like the random things, but more personal, you know?
And then that's where it happens. Like now I think as humans, we're really good at forming connections. It's like, okay, does the story match the feed? And then that's where that authenticity, because like the number of people that I've met in person, like to me, one of the best compliments to this day is if I meet somebody in person, they're like, dude, you're like the same person online. And I'm like, thank you. And I know that I'm 100% confident, like you're the same way. And I'm sure you've probably heard that. I know we haven't met in person yet, but when we do, I know it's going to be that way, because it's like, you can just tell when people are genuine. So going back to what we're saying about some of these people that are paying for followers and seeing it, it's like, if you've got a high follower count and you're getting all these like, and you're, trust me, like I've had viral posts and I've had dumpster fire posts, and I've had everything. And I can tell you right now, unless you are on absolute fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
you're not cranking numbers on views. It's just, that's not how the algorithm works these days.
Right. It goes up, it goes down. That's today's algorithm. One of the way to fabricate, kind of, I got a couple minutes to fabricate being on fire. This is my strategy. I post twice a day on TikTok and YouTube shorts, whatever. For example, I do two different types of posts. I'll do a clip from a podcast or a TikTok live. And then I plug it into Opus Clip. I get the AI version. It kind of filters out the stuff. And then I manually input the captions on. And essentially what I do is every morning, I'll post a clip from the TikTok live or podcast. And then in the afternoon, when I leave work, I just chat about something that happened at work. A thought came up, a concept, or like, you know, today I wanted to talk about one of my morning hacks is to do a quick 10-minute ab workout as soon as I wake up. Mm. So you might not work out the rest of the day, but you got something in, yada, yada. And it might be some value you could take in your day. But what I do is I put that onto TikTok, YouTube Shorts. I just started implementing Facebook Reels again, and then on podcasts. But I look at YouTube Shorts and TikTok, and whichever ones have more views and likes, I put a balance. Those top ones, that's the one that goes to Instagram at a later date. You see what I'm saying? And then the ones on Instagram are constant hitters, because it's like that one got 5,000 views on TikTok. Not that many. You don't need that many, but that's a hitter on Instagram on today's day, right? The YouTube Shorts, it got a lot of likes, not many views, but a lot of likes. That one might do well on Instagram. But anything that does well on TikTok generally does do well on Instagram too. So I wait for it to, I look at the activity and then I'll post it days or week later.
So this is, you're the third person I've heard this from in the last week.
Really? I've been doing this for over 2 years, by the way.
Dude, the big names, like big marketers and like big influencers basically they do the same thing. So you're money. And the fact that you're seeing it work is awesome, because apparently TikTok does not penalize you for bad content. TikTok will just continue. It will, if it's good content, it's good. If it's not good, it's not good. Instagram apparently will.
I think so.
If you pump mediocre content, and then like 10 mediocres in a row, and then you get one banger, it's going to like, the banger doesn't actually get the reach.
Break out, yeah.
So, and I've seen it, because my page got hot in the summer of 2023, like hot. And then I doubled down on what I was doing, which was just the organic walk and talk, sharing my views on the profession and just mindset and all that stuff. Dude, every single one was cranking 25K, 40K, 50K. Like it was just money. Like they were, the views were flying. I got like numb to it, where it was bad, dude. Like if I got less than 25K views, I'd be like, this sucks. So bad.
I'm not doing this again. I hate my life.
It was bad. And now I'm in the opposite. Like now, I mean, most of my content, and I think because I made a switch, I started going heavy on the aligner stuff again. And I just know that's not where the audience is. And so now I'm like sub 10 purgatory. And it's like, and I have to like detach myself from like the vanity metrics, but dude, it's like, it's, you know, I'm a human and I take pride in what I put out there, but then when I put out something that's good, and I'd be like, yo, this thing is like not moving. And then when I started seeing this stuff, and I'm like, damn. But so I post on TikTok, and I can go back and probably look at some of the views, but even if I don't have a big following there, cause I know you've been doing TikTok for a while. Like even if I don't have a big following there, like you think like, I mean, is that where dentists are? Like, is that like something I should be testing? Like thrown
patients? I would say a lot of dentists are on TikTok, but I think it's generally getting, you're touching the broader public on TikTok. That's what I would say. You're getting some knowledge out there to the broader public. I mean, essentially what Invisalign did was it marketed directly to patients. That's what you could technically do with clear aligners through patients. So patients are going to the office of potential clients you already have.
So that was one of my ideas in the very, very beginning, where I was like, oh, I can make patient-centered content, because then I can kind of have them go to the dentist. But in today's day, that's tough to like try to go wield that power. I mean, it's big. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not possible, but
Both. I think you got to do both, you know?
Yeah.
I do think it's both. Yeah, man. I got to hop now though, but I feel like there's so many more topics we got to, because we didn't go deep. We went deep into maybe 3 to 5 topics.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. No, this was good. This was really good. I want to go in on like the strategize. We did.
Was it, what's like top of mind? I know you got to hop, but I'm just curious what's something that we didn't go over that you wanted to?
You know, I mean, because we really did get into, we talked about all the platforms. We talked about short form versus long form. We talked about LinkedIn B2B. We talked about, you're seeing Instagram being the biggest one for gaining clientele. No, we hit a lot. It was space, you know, it wasn't like coherent from one thing to the other, but I like it when it's not coherent. Do you prefer to have like a list, like we got to hit this topic?
I just want to, right? I just like it. I enjoy doing this because like it's, for me, it's usually it's one way. Like I'm not talking to people most days. I'm talking right like to a camera, yeah. And I'm trying to come up with this stuff. So I was just on another podcast the other morning, and it was two dentists, and like, dude, I love it when people are asking me questions because it's like, mm-hmm. I try to get that engagement on the page, but I don't know. People get weird about messaging and asking questions. Like, and I'm like, no, I want to know. Like, I'm happy to share. Like, I'm an open book. Like, I could talk more about it, but no,
I got to get you on the TikTok live, man. I think you should try the TikTok live because that's what it is. It's just ask away, ask questions. You put in the title, and then mm-hmm. I do TikTok live number one, number two. Last night was number 60. And people just are constantly asking you questions and you just answer them, record it. And that's your clip to send out to the editor. Hey, pick the 10 best ones, maybe run it through ChatGPT, ask them what they think the general public would like. And then you get the little clips from it. And that could be your clips for the week or whatever. But all right, man, we'll touch base soon. We should discuss strategies for each other. Like what, here's one example. All my content I do for free. I don't have a real subscription thing or whatever. And I don't know. I'm trying to look for maybe get people on the podcast where, here, you know, you want to come on the podcast? I like to get guests like you on, you know, let's chat. Let's talk about higher level stuff. But if your company, you want to come on, maybe get charged. I don't know. I wanted to see your thoughts on that because you're really good with connecting the dots from like, you know, gaining traction and then getting, I don't know, I guess clientele. But all right. I got to go.
Monetization strategies.
Yeah. Maybe for the next one.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it again. This stuff is fun.
Yeah, man, let's do it. All right, dude. Thanks for coming on again. We'll do this maybe another month or two.
For sure. Sounds good. Tell Pat I said what's up.
All right, brother. All right, thanks.
All right, man. Take care.